Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us out this evening, for all the work we've been able to do the past few days, for a distinct lack of injuries, and for our health and safety. And I pray that you would continue to watch over us and keep us. Just pray for Frank at this time. You know, Lord, all his needs. Pray you too for Colin, for Will, for Christine, for Mary Ann, and remember Lynn and Pat this evening. Please bless your time and your presence, Lord. Please honour us as we honour you. And search our hearts and fix us up, Lord. Just make us what you need for us today. We love you and thank you. We leave this at your feet, Father. And we pray it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. 406. Start with that. 406.
Amen.
We'll do 173 next. 173. Love lifted. Your football stands.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, repent not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid of them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we praise not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, give the life and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the actions of the power of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound it to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen.
Let's continue on with our singing, once we get Norman a chance to sit down. Amen. As far as prayers go, just pray for each other in private prayer requests. Frank, Pat and Steve, well, all folks that can't be here this evening aren't here this evening. Got a call from Stan earlier on today as well, seeing that he is sick again. So please do pray for him and the family. There's a lot going on, a lot of people needing prayed for, not just Christians, but lost folks need prayed for too. I would certainly like everybody that I know to be going to heaven when the Lord comes back and not have to live through the 7 years of tribulation, great tribulation. But anyway, 200 together. We'll remain seated as we sing softly and thankfully Jesus is calling. 280. And the same verse straight again. Just lost track of it. Matthew chapter 5, if you'd like to join me there in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. I want to spend a few minutes on the subject of love. It's mentioned in Matthew chapter 5. I thought, you know what, that sounds as good. As good a subject as any. The message this evening is quite scripture heavy. I don't expect you to turn to all of the different references, but please do listen to all the different references. Speaking on the subject of love, and you'll see why as we begin reading in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 38. My Bible, these pages are all in red, and that means these are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. So let's read and let's see what they say. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law to take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Verse number 44 is our particular text this evening. Just want to spend a few minutes on the subject of love and a number of its different forms. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we can continue. Heavenly Father, please be one of our number as we spend this time in your word. Please open our understanding. Help us to grow and learn, even as we take this time aside from the world. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they might be. And I pray you, Lord, that you would deliver them from danger. Excuse me. That you would strengthen, that you would heal, that you would chasten, that you would comfort. Lord, please just supply our daily bread. Please be with brothers and sisters in all the different countries, and I pray for those countries that are just not conducive to the gospel, Lord, getting a bit like this one here. For all those that fella Enoch, Lord, that was arrested for coming up at school, for that woman Isabel that was arrested for praying quietly in her head outside of an abortion center, for things like that, for that pastor that was arrested, Lord, I pray for your good hand, please, upon me. I pray, Lord, for a realization of just what exactly is going on to occur to people, Lord, even now. We love you and thank you. Pray your good hand upon us now. Help us, Lord, as we spend this time here in your word. Amen. Amen. One thing I will say about the scriptures is a lot of times they're not very easy to take on board. Some of them are milk. It's a very easy go down. They're refreshing and they're full of goodness. And some of them are meat. The Bible says the meat of the word. And meat, you can't just, if you can, good for you, but I even saw Norman, and he's a bit bigger than me, and he was sitting down to a couple of steaks the other day, and he still cut them up into bite-sized chunks, chewed them, and then swallowed them. He didn't just swallow it all in one go. The meat of the scriptures, the things that are hard for us, sometimes take a little bit of chewing. Now, in the run-up to verse number 44, we have one of the teachings about one of the greatest Christian principles, which is forgiveness. And Another verse that springs to mind, one which I didn't have here, says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." And that's all very well and good. That means, that doesn't mean keep doing the same thing over and over again, but you're quite at liberty to remove yourselves from situations that would put you in such a situation. That makes sense. You don't have to keep in company with bad people. If they keep stealing your money, well, obviously don't keep their company. Remove yourself from it. But anyway, the Bible says, and it was an Old Testament saying, if someone hurts you, you're entitled to hurt them back. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Even to the taking of someone's life, you were entitled by the law to do that. But in verse 39, the Lord's not just talking about us, because he did the very same. If you recall to mind his last words on the cross, or some of his last words on the cross, were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." It's a difficult one, because we live in very difficult times, and it's about to get even more difficult as the persecution against Jews and Christians ramps up. As we have seen in the newspapers and on the TV, as wicked people literally get more and more wicked, probably one of the worst examples of that, or best examples, depends how you want to frame that, is when that Christian school was shot up and everyone came out in sympathy for the transgender. For the young fellow that was a girl, pretending to be a boy, or a boy pretending to be a girl, it's hard to tell these days, and there was sympathy for them. I think, to be honest with you, as an agent of state, if I had been an agent of the state, I would have been fully in line with filling them full of bullets and hoping and praying that they had made the right decision to accept Christ as their Savior before it was too late. But there are times whenever you can let things go. For it says, if someone smites you on your right cheek, by all means. Someone takes something on you, by all means. But it doesn't say here to forgive someone if they come into your house and kill your wife and children. Forgive them, yes, for your own well-being, but there's actions. There are consequences for actions. There's a couple of things here as well that said about if a man can compel you to go a mile, go two. That was because of the Roman soldiers. They were within the law. They could force a member of the conquered nation that they were in to carry their pack for them for a mile. But these are difficult things, especially whenever the cutting edge of evil seems to be hitting us more and more these days. There are things that you can let go and you can live without, but there are things that you need to stand up and fight your corner for. We're talking about love, and back in the days, whenever the children of Israel were working their way to the promised land, and then in the promised land, God said to kill your enemies, utterly wipe them out. But now he's saying, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. And I got to thinking about that for a little while, because our real enemy, our adversary, the Bible says, is the devil, and he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And many of the people that have been fooled into, or talked or persuaded into following the devil, are quite simply prey of the devil. And we need to be praying for them to wise up, because we were there once as well. It's very difficult to do that. And it takes you to have your eyes on heaven and not be worrying about the things being broken or lost down here in this life, and reputations even, all of these things mean nothing and will mean nothing whenever you get to heaven. But life is getting more and more like that. We can't afford to let ourselves be dragged down when these things happen to us, but we need to be much in prayer. And if you even get to thinking about it, the Lord died for us, and we were sinners. Sometimes great sinners, greater than thieves, greater than users. Anyway, before we start talking about love, we need to have a wee look at 1 Corinthians 13, because it has the biblical definition of love. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing, charity being sacrificial love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, and charity wanteth not itself, and is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And we see, no matter what you do in this life, without this sacrificial love, which I do believe honestly comes from being saved, nothing's going to matter. You're not going to be profitable. Regardless of your talents, regardless of what you give, regardless of what you sacrifice, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it means nothing. And then it goes on, there's five or six verses there that discuss the characteristics of true and sacrificial love. And the best way of maybe summing it up would be to say that real love looks out for the best of the focus of its love. Does that make sense? If that was a husband that loved his wife, the husband would want the best for his wife. He wouldn't be looking to get the best out of his wife, but he would be looking to do the best for his wife, and likewise the wife for the husband. And it might not, there might not be in any given situation all of those characteristics of sacrificial love, but there should be some of them. There should be some of them. And they describe the love that the Lord has for us. And at least a shadow of it should be evident in our lives. The real enemy is the devil. And those that have been deluded, and fooled into falling, they still have souls, and they still need to hear the gospel. And they need to hear it in such a way, not that they're being conquered by it, but they're being met as a friend, just like it says in 2 Timothy, that we would instruct in meekness those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the apology of the truth. There's a bunch of different loves. I'm going to go through them all here very quickly. There is romantic love, the love that one spouse has for another, a husband for a wife. When I say spouses, I started thinking, well, it's the preacher was condoning homosexual or lesbian relationships. The preacher is not, the Bible expressly preaches against that. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for its sacrificial love. And as part of that, the children being the result of a marriage, They are instructed to honor their father and mother, that their days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, to love and honor. That means giving, protecting. Even to the end of your life, the husband is instructed to love his wife and by extension his family in the same way as Christ gave himself completely to save the church. If we were to go on then to the familial love of a mother for her children, we were speaking not that very long ago in the Book of Solomon, the Book of 1 Kings about Solomon. Whenever, here's the verse, it talks about the two prostitutes, and one killed their, smothered their children in their sleep and took the others, and there was a back and forth about whose he was. And Solomon said, "Get me a sword, and I will kill the child and divide it in two, and give each mother a half a child." And then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bile germed upon her son. And she said, "O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slave." But the other said, "Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it." And that shows that even to the giving up of a child, a mother would do anything to save their children's lives. As we look on in the Word of God, there is another love for friends. And the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." There is no mention of a physical attribute from that, other than enjoying a friend's company. There's no romantic attribute in that, but that is just a proper brotherly, almost, love for a friend. And along with that, we would need to think about the love that God has for us, which is even greater than that. Because God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, i.e. enemies of God, Christ died for us. And that shows you how much greater again his love for us is than the love that we have. Whenever it comes to love for Christians, it talks about a good indicator of being saved is that we love the brethren, that we can stomach as a creature talking about the gospel, hearing about how things are going for people, thoughts and ideas that they have on the scriptures, how they're living their lives. There is a love for brethren. There is also the love that Christians have for lost people. Because we are commanded to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And you have to have a certain amount of love and dedication to do that. And I have two great examples here. One is the rich young ruler, and the other is Nicodemus. And the rich young ruler is well healed, but he definitely knows he's missing something in his life. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, the Word of God says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." And that's just, that's an indication of just because you love somebody does not mean that it's all roses and toys and chocolates. Sometimes it is a hard and a bitter truth. And we are, if you really love somebody, it talks about the wounds of a friend being faithful. Whenever they tell you the truth, you know that it is the truth because they are your friend and they want the best for you. Even if it hurts. John chapter 3 talked about another man that was told the truth by Jesus. A man called Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Something that flew in the face of all of the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, although not the word of God that was that they were supposed to be preaching from. And Jesus told them that, and that could have gone one of two ways. Nicodemus could have gotten all uptight and could have gone to the scribes and Pharisees and could have claimed that Jesus was preaching heresy and he was trying to convert them away from Judaism. Or he could have gotten saved. Guess what happened? The one man got saved, the rich young ruler, he went away sorrowing greatly because he had many riches. Why is that? Why is it we're supposed to love people? Why is it so important that we demonstrate our love? And I mean in the proper sense of the word. We should want what's best for them. We should be prepared to say and do the necessary things in order to give people what they need to make right decisions, not just about here and now, but about eternity, even to the point of costing us. There's a great little verse in Galatians that says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, over the past few years, I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been great cries of misogyny, of men set against women. There have been great cries of racism, where different people, people with different skins or different likes and dislikes are set against each other. And then we have governments that did a very accomplished job over the space of about 2 years of setting everybody against each other, putting fear in instead of love, doing their best to destroy love in all of its forms, between friends, between family, between colleagues, between neighbours, and even between God and man. Now everybody knows, and even the animals know, to look for that those things that are on their own and isolated are easy prey. And I believe to a greater or lesser extent that that's exactly what is happening in this country and in this world right about now. Relationships, honest to goodness, loving in the proper sense of the word, relationships make everyone in them stronger. Make everyone involved in them stronger. You stand together, you stand propping each other up, you stand help someone up, or when you fall, someone that's standing can help you up. And your skills will complement somebody else's skills. Your knowledge will complement somebody else's knowledge. Your strength will complement somebody else's strength. And you can accomplish more together. God knows that, and the world, the flesh, and the devil know that, and God wants to increase it, but the world, the flesh, and the devil wants to destroy it. There's probably a far better demonstration or explanation of that in the book of Ecclesiastes. This reminded me of Norman and me as we were working on the wood. Ecclesiastes 4, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need love in its correct sense in our lives. Love for our fellow man, for our spouses, for our families, for our children, and for our neighbours. Because without it, souls will die and go to a sinner's hell. And the very fabric of everything that we know and love and enjoy will fall apart. And the devil will pick us off one by one until there's nobody left. So make sure and go to God and get your daily dose, get it pumped up, charged up, whatever it is that you need. Ask him about these things. Ask for a wee taste of that. We all need the love that God has for us. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for bearing with me. Let's close our Bibles and we will sing and close in the song. We'll go to the black books. And we'll sing number 3 in the black books. All the people that on earth be stand as we sing. Please see us safely home and back at the next appointment. Just love you and praise you, Father. Amen. 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 Lady and gentlemen, we're dismissed. God bless you.
We should do something different than we did on Sunday.
Oh, dear.
Well, it was better than being left on, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because John Mann with the Army Rich Hat.